Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I say it every episode and I mean it from the genuine, deepest part of my heart. Thank you for being here, for lending your time, for giving your ear to this show, and for participating. You, audience, are the best. You send me emails to successfuldiligence.com/contact. You send the most fun voice messages by clicking the link in the show notes. And I am just so grateful for every single review that you leave on the podcast, Apple Podcast platform. I thank you. I'm grateful. It really helps to have the show reach more people so more people can get benefit from the incredible guests that I bring on and the value added conversations that we have each and every show. And I am super excited for today's guest. He is just a really fascinatingly interesting person, and I know you're going to get value. So get a notebook because you're going to want to take notes. Andrew Stephen Annunciation is my guest today, and he, if you haven't heard of him before, is founder of the worldwide cacao brand, Cacao King. You can't get higher than the Cacao King, I'm telling you. I may apply to be Cacao Queen because I love cacao, but he is the Cacao King. Now, in addition to that, he is also a masculine embodiment coach and cacao mentor for authentic leaders. Andrew leads men into fulfilling relationships while living a life filled with passion and purpose. Andrew supports emotional transformation by giving his clients space and opportunity to transform suppressed emotions into states of liberation, happiness, and empowerment. It is his mission to guide men and women into the depths of themselves so that they can lead a life of health and be heart-centered leaders. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
I am so excited to have you here. Before we get into Beyond the Bio here, where are we chatting from, you specifically?
So currently I'm in Southeast Asia.
I love it. One thing, and listeners, I know you appreciate this. I love the global international humans that I get to meet through the show. And I know you appreciate the different perspectives and the conversations we have. So I'm so excited. And Andrew, for those who are just getting to know you, haven't heard of the Cacao King before, tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to do the work that you do.
Definitely. So I would say, you know, it really started back when I was living in Hawaii. Before living in Hawaii, I was living in Arizona and kind of really discovering what it is that I really wanted to do with my life. And I started doing personal training, and you know, I noticed the personal trainers, they were fulfilled by, you know, helping people. So there was something in me that I discovered that I also wanted to live a life of fulfillment and happiness and to help other people. And from that journey, I really wanted to have something to share, and I started giving cacao to my friends. And Michelle, I just noticed how it just raised the vibe, like not one notch, but 10. And from there, I set out on a mission to meet indigenous people, continuing to travel, and went to music festivals and, you know, started looking into more of, you know, what are some things that I can transform within myself so that I can also support and help others into their transformation.
I love it. I love it. I've had my cacao today, and I'm telling you, my vibe and my energy is off the chain, probably due to the cacao now that I'm learning more about it. So I want to sort of talk about a couple things before we get into your coaching and mentoring journey. Talk to me about how you discovered cacao, because most people are familiar with chocolate and cocoa, but cacao is something different. So talk to me about how you discovered cacao.
Definitely. So, as one of my first jobs as a child, Michelle, my father would have me go door to door selling chocolate. So that kind of, started my chocolate journey. And then when I was living in Hawaii back in 2016, 2017, I found out that the Aztecs used cacao as currency. And this was the same time, like I said, that I wanted to have something to kind of share to the community. I was super inspired. People were farming. I was starting to connect more to the earth and with the land. And I think this consciousness, this things about plant medicine was also there and present. So cacao was really the catalyst for me to really have something to share, really something to physically give to the community.
That's so interesting. And, I know, well, I have a sense, I don't know because we haven't talked prior to this, but, I am a Messianic Jew in terms of my belief system, which means that I grew up Jewish and I'm in the Christian faith. And I'm a big believer, though, that God has gifted us with plants and earth-bound things that we have yet to discover and utilize appropriately. And cacao and plant medicine and natural herbalism and functional medicine, all of that is something that I am definitely learning more about because it's so effective and it's so transformative when used effectively and correctly with someone who understands the power of it and how to use it. And cacao, I gotta tell you, when I discovered cacao, it is not the tastiest thing in the world when you first try it. Like, it's not like chocolate. It's not a chocolate bar that you think of. So, talk to me about the Cacao King. Is it sweetened? Is it specifically just natural and earthy? Like, talk to me about your cacao.
Yeah, sure. So currently, Cacao King sources cacao from Ecuador, which is known for one of the most tastiest cacaos in the world. I also sell a raw ceremonial cacao, which is grown in Peru. And here in Thailand, we're also sourcing local cacao in Thailand. And when people try the cacao, they're surprised of not how bitter it is. Because just as you said, people are really known for cacao as bitterness, as more bitter. And bitter, is it's very medicinal. If you can think of greens and things like this that are taste of bitterness, it aids the digestion. So, that's one of the qualities of a bitter. And for cacao at Cacao King, people say, it's tastier. They're like, is this sweet? But there's no sugar added. It's 100% pure cacao.
I love that. I've grown to love cacao in a more natural state. I took myself off of sweeteners and I do use honey and some monk fruit and some coconut sugar. But it's fascinating when you dive into the palate and changing your palate. Like you said, we chug down the greens because we know they're good for us, even though they're disgusting and they taste all earthy. But cacao really does change sort of how you taste things. What are the medicinal aspects of cacao? Because I'm not really familiar with how it benefits the body.
Yeah, so there's a lot. First of all, there's tons of vitamins and minerals, iron, copper, magnesium. It may help you with anxiety, it may help you with depression. If you're feeling down, you're really wanting to have an uplifting mood, cacao can support you with that. The next thing is that it's one of the most antioxidant rich foods on the planet, which means that it actually may help cure cancer, getting rid of free radicals. And something that I want to share with you is that when I spent time with the Nobe indigenous people, they use cacao in ceremony to help heal the sick and to get rid of evil spirits within the community. So even like without this quote unquote science, but having this human innateness, this knowing, this perhaps download from the divine, from God, or just this intuitive knowing that cacao can help heal the sick and to get rid of evil spirits. And for me, I kind of have been interpreting this as like, okay, number one, it is the one of the most antioxidant-rich foods on the planet, which so it can help cure, so it may help cure cancer. And the second thing is that, it gets rid of evil spirits. And for me, in my past, I really battled depression. And for me, I could definitely say there may have been some evil spirits involved with that. So I'm grateful for cacao and what I learned from the indigenous people.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I've noticed an uplift of mood and energy and positive feelings when I drink it daily. I'll be quite transparent with you all. I do have cacao daily in different forms. I have powder and I have drinks and all the things. And I need to go to cacaoking.com to get your cacao and give a firsthand testimonial about the difference. But it's fascinating about, and I'm a big believer that there's nothing new under the sun, right? And as a human, we're all connected, and with our spirits, that's energy, and there are things that impact you from the outside in as well as from the inside out. And so talk to me about this journey from the dark places that you have experienced that led you to be able to become an embodiment coach and a cacao mentor and helping your clients transform to liberation, to happiness, to joy, to a better, healthy life space. How, talk to me about that journey and how you
Yeah,
came to
totally.
that place.
Beautiful. So it really starts with me trying to understand love. And for me, I understanding and knowing what love was for me was very challenging. And that really started off with my relationship with my parents, with my family members. And they would say, "We love you, I love you," but then their actions and their words, it kind of got me confused. And so if I didn't believe my parents loved me, or I didn't know what love was, and they were saying this to me, then that kind of took me through a journey of kind of looking for love outside of myself, of like, where is love? So I would look through it, drugs, sex, partying, people pleasing, seeking popularity, seeking attention, and that really spiraled down to depression for me. And thinking of, thoughts of me dying, which put me into fear, and really put me in a very sensitive place in my life. And so the older I got, I found out, I had then I try to find ways of kind of coping with trying to heal this ex these experiences within myself. So that led me to going to church, in the Christian faith, getting baptized and going through a whole journey with that. Trying to be like Jesus and going out praying for people. Then I joined a cult community, which was a Bible-based community where we called Jesus Yahshua. And there's kind of connection with Jesus throughout my life. And then from there, it was really about, I kind of found out that it was, I had to live a life of not just for myself, but it was for other people. And this really dove me into what I find like what love is. because there's a I believe a scripture that says, you know, there's no love greater than this than someone would lay down his life for his friend. And to me, it was like, well, have I ever really experienced that in my life, where someone just kind of laid down their life? Well, if I look back, you know, my parents, you know, they were taking care of me. They made sure that I was safe. They put me in, you know, probably did their best to put myself in these situations. So really, for me, it was really gaining understanding and wisdom. And I find for me, prayer was a big success tool for me, because, you know, I believe that, you know, there is a greater force, there is a divine, a creator that, you know, is like the intelligence behind life. And that just makes sense to me. Like inside my knowing, inside my being, I'm like, yes, that's truth. Like that's true. And so then that kind of led me to, you know, forgiveness, because I realized that inside of me, what was really eating me up was this bitterness, was this anger toward my dad. And then that led me to doing men's work and really kind of being in a safe space with other men and having a men's coach to be like, okay, I'm trying to be a man. I'm trying to be a healthy man. And what does that look like? And what does that look like for me? Because I need to go through the stuff that I went through to kind of come out to the other side.
You got to untangle the roots. I have to jump in here because, Andrew, I'm resonating so much. So, first of all, I want to say thank you because the transparency with which you're sharing is valuable. And I want to honor and appreciate that because it's not easy. It takes courage to bare one's soul, so to speak, and tell one's story. And the journey from darkness to light is not always easy, right? Or it's messy, and it's something that takes a lot of courage to share. So first, I want to honor you and thank you for sharing so transparently. And what I'm resonating so deeply with you is that your journey was founded in a root of seeking love and understanding what is love, right? My journey was rooted in, or is rooted in, seeking and understanding truth. And for me, truth and love are the same thing because they're embodied in the same God, right? And so I just think that's fascinating. And I love that your journey unpacks the root and really extracts the wisdom from your learning, because what that does is it allows you to share the gift of that with others. And I find it fascinating. I have to say, we were talking about cacao and how a lot of people perceive that as being bitter, right? And you took bitterness of cacao and found a not so bitter version of it in the different places that you're sourcing from, right? And you are gifting us with something that is not bitter and it's sweet. You know, in the Bible, David said that, you know, what was bitter you made sweet like honey. And I find that as we heal in our journeys, what once was bitter to us through wisdom and through that key, and listeners pick up on this, the key is forgiveness of self and of others. That leads to the sweetness of the wisdom and the lesson from what was once bitter. And I just love that. And your journey just speaks of that. And I'm just so excited to unpack a little further. What I love about you as a person is you're very intentional. And I really, really appreciate that. Even like with your responses, you pause and take a moment. Stay in your energetic lane. You're like, I'm Andrew, I'm showing up, and I'm going to say what I need to say. And I absolutely love that. How did you get there though? Because, you know, when you're in a dark place and coming from depression and coming from a place of not loving yourself, that's difficult to do, right? Because that takes confidence and authority and Being intentional is strategic, and there's a certain discipline to that that I don't know that people have, in my opinion. I don't think people have that when they're in that chaotic, dark place. So how did you learn that?
What's coming up for me is awareness, and that for me started off with Kundalini yoga, meditation, Vipassana, looking at my thoughts, observing my breath, and realizing the importance of words. And realizing the importance of truth and how it's important for me to be honest and to me to be truthful and for me to channel of exactly what I need to be saying in every moment. And what that also aligns with is my connection to myself and the divine.
I love that. You have no idea how much I resonate with that. That's why I'm like just choosing up a storm here, because yes, mindfulness, and I call it paying attention, but it's awareness and free from the physical, your breath, understanding what thinking is and being aware of your thoughts and then control of your thoughts. And I mean, Andrew, I'm a fan, I gotta say. I am a fan, but I feel like you're a brother from another mother as well, because I'm just, there's so much that I'm resonating with. And I gotta ask you, what happened to Jesus? What happened? Did the cult just like completely eradicate the truth or sort of expand or what was that journey like?
Wow.
Because people get caught up in religion versus relationship and, you know, what they're taught versus what they experience and all of that stuff.
So I grew up as a pastor's kid, first off.
Oh, you're a PK.
And I don't think I can say I had like terrible experiences in church necessarily, but I did grow up with a father who is a pastor, and my vision of him, his persona, like who he was and then like who he portrayed to be, that kind of confused me. And
'cause they weren't the same.
Like it was like he was an actor, which he literally was an actor as well. So it was like he was an actor on stage, but then in real life he was someone else.
Yeah.
And so that, I think that messed with me a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then I started having my own experience. Like, okay, I moved out of the house. I'm 18. I'm going to church. I'm going to have my own thing going on. And I had a great time. I had great relationships with people. I was connected with the church. I loved being a part. I was doing my thing. And then I did that for a number of years. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to travel and move to Hawaii. So then I went there, and then I wasn't really so involved with church. I was more into this exploring mode, like, oh, what's this yoga? Oh, what's this meditation? Oh, look at all these backpackers and world travelers. This is very interesting to me. So then I kind of went on that tail for a little bit and started traveling myself. Traveled the U.S. by foot and backpack, found myself in like hippie communities and rainbow gathering and music festivals, and then joining the cult community, the Bible-based 12 tribes community, and that was full on. You want to talk about a cult? I full on joined. I was like, here's all of my possessions, all of my money, everything, and I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with all of you. And then I left a year and a half later, and then I had to rebuild my life.
And your conception of your worldview.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that was a very confusing time again. And that was just only 2016.
What made you leave the cult?
I noticed that I wasn't being wholehearted anymore. So, there was this initial excitement. Yes, I'm part of the chosen people. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Yes, I'm serving Yahshua. Yes, I'm serving Yahshua through my brothers and sisters in this community. And then it just, I don't know, I think I might have just saw through it. Because on the outside, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Look, we're all living together, working together. And then I started, meeting the people and being with them more. And I was like, I don't know, man.
This ain't
I don't know. I don't know if this is it. And then I left, and then, talking to my parents who had visited me and was like, man, we were praying for you to see through all this. And then I was like, what the heck? Like, I full on believed this. Like, I was in it. And then from there, I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna start figuring out what am I supposed to do. So then I started working. And I was like, well, the only thing I see reasonably to do is I want to be a farmer. Move back to Hawaii, doing some more farming. And then I was like, oh, well, I'm gonna start sharing cacao. And so for me, it was like, okay, I'm going to these music festivals. These people seem about, they're all about togetherness. And I wasn't really ever really in one space to even go to a church, and I wasn't really even interested to really go.
Did you read the Bible at all, or was that sort of not part of
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would say Proverbs was really big for me. Like, and now, I mean, the Bible is still important to me. Like, I hope to listen to the whole thing, but yeah, there's just a lot of it is just I'm still trying to wrap myself around everything, and life and society and everything else that's happening and going on. So I would say now it's like, okay, end of times seems pretty full on, real. I'm not arguing with that. And for me, it's like, well, what's important? Well, for me, it's making sure I'm in a cool space, and I'm connected to the divine. And yeah, I would say I still pray in Yahshua's name, and
So
I
is
have a
the divine
connection.
Jesus, or is it something that you're still learning?
So my understanding is that Jesus, or Yahshua, was a man, was a human that came down, and he realized that he was one and the same as the divine. And I'm not exactly sure what it looked like, how his mom got pregnant. Sometimes I fantasize about that. How does that actually look like? I hope I find out though one day.
You will. I'm a believer that we are all going to know the truth someday, the full-on truth. Whether you believe it or not, I always say it is true there is truth, whether you believe it or not. And one day when we shed this body, we will all know in fullness the truth. So, have you ever read the Bible from cover to cover?
I have not.
I'm 47 years old. I just turned 47 in July. And January of this year, I don't know if you're familiar with Clubhouse, the app, the social
Don't
media app
know.
Clubhouse. So it's an audio-only app. It's on all different phones. It's called Clubhouse, but it's only audio. There's no, your profile is written and you have a picture. But everything else is just all audio. And so you go into different rooms and you just have conversations, right? And so in January of this year of 2021, I found a room that was steeped, it's called Steeped in Scripture. And every single day, we show up and we read from the Bible for 45 minutes. So it's 10 a.m., I mean 10 p.m. Eastern. We read for 45 minutes and then we pray. And this was the first time in my life that I had read the entire Bible from Genesis 1 to the end, the last verse in Revelation. I'd never done it before. And it was reading, you know, you read along, you can either read or listen, or you know, you don't have to participate in the audience and listen. And it's like I said, it's all audio. And so we read from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. It was the first time I'd ever heard the Bible cover to cover. And I have to tell you, it made such a difference for me in my understanding and the connection of it all, because people take the Bible out of context and they tell stories or they quote scripture, but it's all out of context. And when you read it cover to cover, or you listen to it cover to cover, it makes so much sense, right? And so I get all excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I finally, I get it. And I grew up Jewish, had no idea about Jesus or church or whatever, and then came to know Christ in my 20s. And although I argue that I've known him all my life because time is just a continuum, right? But anyway, so I offer that to you, to read it cover to cover, listen to it cover to cover. And I'm gonna keep in touch with you because I wanna know what your experience after you do that is, and how it adds to your life or doesn't, or if it makes sense or it doesn't. Like, I'm just interested in your experience of it, because for me, it was fascinating, the depth of impact that it had. Which I didn't think it would. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I read the Bible every day, whatever. But it really impacted in a way, because it just, my mind, like, you know when the light bulb goes off and it all clicks, and I was like, oh, I get it. You know what I mean? So anyway, I wanted to offer that to you. So I love that you were seeking to understand what it means to be a man. Because I think in today's society, men are so underserved and neglected emotionally and spiritually, and sometimes even mentally. And it takes such strength to be able to journey from darkness to light and then go back down the mountain once you've reached the top and bring your brothers up, right? And how did you learn to do that? So once you made the journey yourself, how did you learn, or what was the process of then going back to build up your brothers?
I would say that once I was a student, then I had to be the facilitator, the leader. So where that brought me back was, going back to men's circles and facilitating and leading men's circles. Someone that I was once a participant, someone just I had to go through my own stuff, weekly, weekly, weekly. Then, that kind of put me in a place where the facilitator was like, "Hey, do you want to facilitate? Can are you available? Can you facilitate for me?" And I think that really leads back to when I was a personal trainer, one of my first careers. I told myself, I was like, well, if I'm gonna be a personal trainer, I better embody this thing. And I think it's the same thing for, supporting men in such a most sensitive life touching thing,
It's very raw.
For me to be saying, "Hey, I'm a men's coach. Hey, I support men." It's like, well, Andrew, I mean, I better check myself and be like, "Hey, like, have I done the work? Am I doing the emotional healing? Am I doing the meditations? Am I continuing to clean out the dirt inside of me so the gold can shine?" So, yeah, I
I
would
love that. I
say,
love that. Listeners, you hear me say it all the time. You cannot give what you don't have. And you cannot have it unless you have experienced it and you own that. And that's the authority from which you come from. There's many different men's coaches, but there's no coach like the Cacao King, Andrew Stephen Annunciation, right? Because no one's lived his journey. And so there's wisdom nuggets that he can provide that no one else can, that he knows intimately. And I just love that, because I agree, you have to embody what it is you're teaching and serving with. And I love the keys that the threads that I'm picking up here, is that the journey to healing is seeking love, seeking truth, seeking understanding, seeking wisdom, and then forgiveness, and then serving. Because I'm a big believer that we are here not for ourselves, it's beyond us, it's to serve others, to die empty, per se.
Yeah, dying empty, you know, that reminds me of allowing the song inside of us, or inside of me, to be sung. And if I'm able to sing that song inside of me, you know, hopefully that song is not going to come to the grave with me, but it would be sung out.
And it's left behind for others to experience. Even if you don't know the words, you can still hum the melody. It reminds me, so my mother recently passed away. Well, she died. I say passed away, but she died. She left the earth. And what I discovered when I was preparing for her funeral is that she wrote this poem called Hands. She was a nurse midwife, so she brought babies into the world, and she taught others how to do so as well. She was an instructor. And she wrote this poem called Hands, about the power of hands that birth life and that have been scarred and that are hard because of the life lived, and yet are soft because they understand life and love and forgiveness. And I had never heard this poem. My mother was 71, I'm 47. I had never knew that she was a poet. I never knew she wrote this poem. But it was left behind for me to find, for others to continue to experience. And, you know, speaking to your song, and I feel like there's so often our society does not embrace the arts and that sensitive, vulnerable parts of us, especially with men, who bring out and celebrate and honor so that the world can benefit from that. So I just love that you are actively doing that work. And I wonder what practices keep you in touch with that to be able to continue to do that work.
Mm. Beautiful. So the first off, I would say, is connecting to the divine. So every day, after I wake up, I have an altar, and I lit a candle, and I do a prayer, and I light some Palo Santo, clear my energetic field, do another prayer, I light up an incense, and I'm like, Creator, thank you for filling me up with your spirit, and I just kind of share and kind of tune in with my gratitude. I do about 40 minutes of meditation every day. I do a nice yoga routine, I do a journaling, gratitude and prayer, and this is kind of connects me with myself, connects me to the divine, and this is my focus, and making sure that I keep my connection.
I love that, because gratitude, journaling, prayer, connecting with your God that you believe in, it's so important, because it centers you, reminds you who you are, and keeps you connected to yourself. And I love that you do that before you connect with others, because that allows you to serve in a way that is more focused on the other person. A lot of times I've noticed that coaches will project on their clients or bring sort of their stuff to their clients, and that's not helpful all the time. So I love that you do that and then are able to serve with clarity. So I want to ask you, and I want to come back to gratitude as well, but I want to ask you, because I'm fascinated that you have lived with Indigenous people, learned different cultures, you know, you came from the Americas and have traveled around the globe. Talk to me about that experience of navigating relationships and connections with people who are not of the Western world.
So what comes to me is having, again, having something to share, having something to give. So when I met these indigenous people of Central America for the first time in 2018, my intention was, if I go here, if I meet a cacao farm, I want to find out what it is that I can help them with. How can I support them? I'm here to help. So when I came and I met the indigenous people, I said, "Hey, I'm here to help. What do you guys need help with?" They said, "Okay, look, we're bringing like bunches of palm leaves up this hill to make a roof for this house. Can you help?" It was just like, "Yes." "Hey, you know, we need some help in our cacao farm. Can you help?" "Yes." "Hey, you know," and I was just like, "How can I help? Because I'm here to support." So I kind of would just put myself there to help, and so that continued. I would say that probably supported my relationship with them. And then I got adopted by one of the families. They gave me an indigenous name. They taught me their indigenous language. They taught me Spanish. Like, they gave me an experience that, you know, I meant that money cannot buy, you know. And for me, it's how can I gain the things in life that money can't buy? Because money can buy me a house, but it cannot buy me a home. You know? It can buy me things, but it can't buy me the fulfilling friendships and the relationships that continue to go out throughout years. So,
I love that. I love that because true wealth has nothing to do with currency. True wealth is really about connection and service. And I love that you went with intention of how can I help? What can I do to show up and give? And then once you give, inevitably you get back because whatever you put out there is coming back to you. It's a law. And so I just love that. And you were open and embraced what the gifts were that came back to you as you dispensed your gifts to them. And that's such a beautiful example of how I think we're supposed to be living. You know, as humans, we're one species, right? We look different, we're from different places, but we all have a common denominator. And I think that that is a connective point that is so missed in today's society and today's world. And what a beautiful testament that you and your experience demonstrate that it's possible and that on the journey, healing and growth and love and wisdom and cacao can all come together in this beautiful life. And I love that. I love that. So I know that you are also a part of an author project. Talk to me about this project that you're a part of.
yes, so I am a co-author of a multi-author book called Divine Union, and there's many amazing co-authors that I'm co-authoring with. We're basically a group of men and women that acknowledge the divine, and we kind of share our stories of how we kind of overcame, kind of went through the darkness and kind of came out of the light, and how there's different ways that we're helping people, and if anyone feels called that they can also reach out to us and work with us.
I love that. I love that because I'm, and listeners, you hear me say this all the time. I'm a, such a big believer that there's a gift inside of us that if you just you keep walking and you continue your journey, there is somebody waiting for what's inside of you, and you getting to that healthy place allows you to release it with a blessing for others that will benefit them, empower them, and just create the world that we all really want to live in, even though it's a journey to get there, right? But I love that. And it's like everything you do is about connection and union and collaborative and giving and serving. And what a beautiful life that it is. You are building for yourself, that you are bringing to your clients. And I just love that. I love that. So I want to go back to gratitude for one moment. When did you discover gratitude and how was that for you?
Wow.
Because gratitude is difficult in dark places, having been in a dark place myself.
Yeah, so that brings me back to, you know, when I was going through my depression phase and when I was coming out of that, like clawing out, like I'm in this dark black hole and like I need help. And I was reaching for anything, like whatever. And it led me to a speaker named Zig Ziglar.
I love Zig Ziglar. He's one of my
Okay.
favorites.
Yeah, so this guy is a legend, and
Yes.
I don't even remember how I heard about him. I think maybe someone recommended him, or I maybe heard of somewhere, and someone said Zig Ziglar, and I looked him up, and I just started listening to everything. Like, I would wake up, and I started listening to Zig Ziglar. I'm taking a shower, I'm listening to Zig Ziglar. I'm driving my car, listening to Zig Ziglar.
Zig is
Exercising,
in
I'm listening to
Andrew.
Zig Ziglar. And I remember he would say, you know, you got to listen to this 16 times for it to finally come into you. So I was committed. And I remember him saying that gratitude is the healthiest human emotion. And I was like, well, I better try this because I don't know if I'm experiencing the healthiest human emotion. So I started just being grateful. Grateful for everything. I'm like, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. Even if I wasn't grateful, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. And I noticed how it just changed my mindset. All of a sudden, I'm like, you wouldn't even know that I was depressed. I told people, yeah, I used to be depressed, and they're like, you? They're like, no, you could have never been depressed.
I
And I'm like,
love
no,
that.
seriously.
I love that. It's a similar reaction people get when I tell them that I used to be rageful and angry, and they're like, "No way, you're so happy-go-lucky." And I'm like, "Listen, you have no idea from whence I came." And like you, my gratitude journey was not one of like, "Oh, I'm journaling three things I'm grateful for." I started with, "I'm grateful that I'm on this side of the dirt." That was the start of my gratitude practice, and I didn't even really believe it at the time. I just had to say it. And the more I said it, like you said, the repetition, your brain starts to, it's called your RAS system, it starts to believe it and look for it. And then you can build on that because you're creating new neural pathways in your brain. And you literally change your brain chemistry and then your hormones follow. And so I love that. Again, like I said, I resonate so much with your journey. And I love me some Zig Ziglar. I have buy his books and some of his tapes back in the 80s, if you're old enough to remember cassette tapes.
Yeah, of
I used to
course.
listen in the car. I love that. I love that. Oh, Andrew, I could talk to you forever. I really could. But if you were thinking about like one or two things you really want the audience to walk away from our conversation with and to remember and hold on to, what would it be?
Right now, I would say it's time to rise up. So, you know, whatever you guys are doing, if you feel called to quit your job and actually live a life worth living and doing something you're passionate about, I would say now's the time. I would say if you have any bitterness or any anger toward anyone, remember to forgive them because it's time to rise up, it's time to be free. And, you know, if anyone is looking for a spiritual connection, maybe you're feeling disconnected. I would just start off by just sharing. Try to have a conversation with the divine. Try to pray. If you've never prayed before, just try having a conversation in your closet or in your room somewhere where you're cultivating a spiritual connection. And thank you.
Absolutely, because it's about relationship, it's not about religion. And I love that. I love that. And I would also add to that, try incorporating cacao into your daily routine because it really does make a difference. And there are actually scientific studies about cacao and chocolate and all of the benefits that you mentioned in the earlier in our conversation that it's worth having. I mean, I have it every day because there is such benefit to not only my physical body, but my emotional state and my mental state. So I just love that. Andrew, if people are like resonating and they're like, oh my gosh, this person has what I need to learn more. Where do I find this Cacao King? You know, how do I connect with him? Where do I get this book? Where can people find you? How can they connect with you?
Totally. So if you guys are interested, the Divine Union book, it releases November 19th. And if you want the link for that, you can email me at andrew at cacaoking.com, or maybe we can
put it in the show notes so you can click and go. You know how I hook you up, listeners.
Perfect. Perfect. And if you guys are interested, you guys can, if you guys are interested in ceremonial cacao or cacao nibs or all things cacao, you can go to cacaoking.com, and you can also use the discount code LOVEEVERYONE10 for a discount.
I'm using that tonight, y'all.
And if you guys are on Instagram, you guys can visit me on Instagram, cacaoking. And yeah.
If you guys and what need Andrew anything, didn't mention free. Is there's a blog on cacaoking.com as well where you can learn, because he doesn't only just sell cacao, but he also educates and provides information and background and beautiful imagery as well, very well put together. So I will put all the links in the show notes. Listeners, you know how I do. I like to hook you up. You can click and go, click and go. Andrew, I'm so glad we are connected. This has been such a fulfilling conversation for me. I love when I resonate with people on a deep level. And, you know, I'm so glad we're connected, because now we know each other. You can't unknow what you know, right? You can't unmeet someone. So I love it. And that also tells me that our journeys are connected, because I don't believe in accidents. And so I'm so grateful you had time to join us on the show. And I'm so grateful I got to introduce my audience. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Appreciate you.
And listeners, as I always say, keep walking. Always, always keep walking. Never stop walking, because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. And on the journey, I encourage you, always, always, use gratitude.
As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school, and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life.